Welcome to Cassava Tech Talks, a sponsored podcast series powered by Connecting Africa, covering the biggest tech trends on the continent through interviews with Cassava Technologies executives, as well as independent analysts and thought leaders in specialized industries. I'm Paula Gilbert, the editor of Connecting Africa, and today on the podcast, we're talking about the digital priorities of the C-suite, especially when it comes to cybersecurity, cloud, and digitization in Africa, and how the introduction of AI tools is impacting the market. I'm joined by Oswald Jamira, or OJ, who's the CEO of Liquid C2, which is Liquid Intelligent Technologies' cloud and cybersecurity business. In the past, he's built digital products across agriculture, healthcare, fintech, and education, and now he's responsible for building the Liquid C2 business across Africa. Also on the podcast with us is Sabelo Tlamini, who's the director of the South African National Research Network, SANREN. He's in charge of overseeing South Africa's high-speed research and education network and specializes in cyber infrastructure. Welcome, gentlemen. It's great to have you on the podcast with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, so just before we started, we learned a very interesting tidbit that actually these two gentlemen went to university together. So we're having a bit of a reunion here.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you very much, Paula, for reconnecting me with my colleague here.
You know, that's what we like to do, hey? At Connecting Africa, we connect people and we connect the world, we hope, or give them ideas about it at least. All right, so let's get into the topic. I wanted to just start off with some of your observations when it comes to cybersecurity readiness of organizations in Africa. So OJ, where do you think we are exactly at the moment?
Thank you very much, Paula. So according to Kaspersky's report of 2023, there was about 24% increase in the number of corporate users affected by web threats from Q2 to Q3. 2023 in South Africa alone. However, comparing this statistic in Q3 2020 to Q3 2022, there was an 8% decline in the number of corporate users affected by web threats. Cybersecurity is one of our biggest threats that countries and organizations are facing on a daily basis, with a number of documented incidents across Africa. Malware, phishing, ransomware, and distributed denial of service attacks are just a few of the growing threats that many countries and organizations are facing today. A number of countries in Africa have put in place cyber crimes and cybersecurity bills to protect their citizens and organizations from cyber crimes. While some organizations across Africa are still establishing their cybersecurity capabilities, others have well-established cybersecurity policies, training programs, and have been implementing infrastructure and digital solutions to guard against cyber attacks. When it comes to investing in cybersecurity, many organizations, SMEs included, particularly face resource constraints. We are observing a trend where a number of C-level executives and their respective board of directors are reaching out to service providers for cybersecurity solutions. So these are some of the observations that we've been picking up across the continent as we execute our operations under Liquid C2.
Yeah, very interesting and some interesting stats there for sure. So Sabelo, what are kind of your observations about cybersecurity readiness in Africa, especially with the introduction of technologies like AI, you know, being included in the cloud?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of improvements. There are mostly certainly improvements across African organizations to get the better understanding and the importance of cybersecurity readiness, especially with COVID-19, most of them. Operations moved online, so it increased the cyber threat landscape within Africa. And also cyber criminals have taken notice of the African continent. This has been reported in different reports, as OJ highlighted in the African Cyber Threat Assessment Report by Interpol. This was also highlighted, but there's been a bit of a challenge. While certain organizations are financially capable of improving their cybersecurity readiness, certain might not be able to prioritize it, even if they want to. For an example, SMMEs will be prioritizing business continuity activities like looking at load shedding solutions over cybersecurity readiness or any other models of maybe alternate power supply. So we've been seeing that issue whereby everyone understands it's a big, important issue, but they are more or less limited by financial constraints. But that's what we've been seeing in mostly SMMEs, but more bigger financially stable organizations, they've invested a lot in beefing their cybersecurity readiness.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. I think Africa is becoming a target, but it's good to hear that companies, you know, are trying to beef up their investments on that front. So OJ, do you think the inclusion of AI is going to give CEOs, you know, further sleepless nights or rather nights of peaceful sleep?
Generally, CEOs have limited hours of sleep, right? Because you're always juggling a lot of responsibilities on a day-to-day basis, a lot of tasks to be achieved. But the infusion of AI across a number of industries and operations is fast becoming the norm across the continent globally. The most spoken about word, I believe, in 2024 is going to be AI. We're seeing a lot of trends that are happening in this industry, cutting across all the other industries you can talk about, from supply chain, coming into agriculture, healthcare, into financial services. So AI brings a number of benefits to organizations, which include cost efficiencies, increased visibility. It also drives innovation across a number of organizations. And obviously, for many CEOs, the target is to grow revenue and become profitable. So it also speaks to the top line and the bottom line. AI infusion within the cybersecurity space is an ongoing activity and brings a lot of benefits to organizations and security professionals by recognizing complex data patterns, providing actionable recommendations, and enabling autonomous mitigation. It enhances the threat detection, supports decision making, and speeds up incident response, which supports the CEOs and executives in their response. So based on its capabilities, based on how it operates, I do believe that, as I say, the CEO will never have sleepless nights, but they'll have more information to support decision-making driven by AI.
Yeah, very interesting. So Bela, what kind of trends are you seeing in how execs are embracing, particularly the cloud space, as they digitize their businesses and maybe, you know, bringing AI into that as well?
Yes, we've been seeing an adoption, and actually the AI is supposed to make execs' life easier with more intelligent dashboard, with more intelligent views, and also predicting of the trends. We've been seeing an upward trend in the use, although it's not an ideal situation whereby everyone is embracing it. We've been seeing lots of different tools, ChatGPT, that can maybe make your life easier in preparing some of the documentation or brainstorming or helping you structure your thinking and. So we've been seeing a lot of those tools being adopted. And also because these demand a lot of computing and storage resources, and cloud enables organizations to be able to do that or to experiment with that without much of the capital expenditure or without much spend on the infrastructure. So with the adoption of AI has enabled the increase in cloud adoption or cloud use as an experimentation platform.
Yeah.
And this enables cloud more or less enables everyone to embrace digitalization, because it's not only AI that gets experimented on top of the cloud infrastructure. Number of new experiments that organizations are looking into, they normally try to test them on cloud before they fully embrace it. So we've witnessed a significant uptake of cloud technology since the COVID-19 pandemic, driven mostly by the benefits of scalability and operational efficiencies. And one of the trends is hosting internal cloud solutions such as deployment, which offer more flexibility and control. So most of the people will start experimenting in cloud and then move some of the core functions to their infrastructure, but most of it still remains with the cloud service providers. So that's been the trends we've been seeing within the cloud technology.
Yeah, very interesting insights there. It's always great to see the trends and how things are changing. So OJ, do you think that businesses are still treating cybersecurity as a grudge purchase?
There's no way an executive or a business in today's world, which is highly digital, can treat an investment in cybersecurity as a grudge purchase. Cybersecurity investments are now top priority for most organizations. Some of the compliances and policies within organizations are now driven even at a board level, and the CEO and C-level executives are mandated to invest extensively within the cybersecurity space. in one of the conversations we've been having together with some CIOs across South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, there's an understanding of a requirement of around 15% to 20% of the ICT budgets for companies being channeled towards cybersecurity. The financial and reputational loss that is attributed to cybersecurity attacks is very high for a number of organizations. And this actually can lead to existential challenges because it actually erodes confidence of customers or certain partners towards the organizations. SMEs in certain instances consider the cost of implementing and maintaining cybersecurity measures to be very high. And because of that, like what Sabelo advised earlier on, that their prioritization then shifts to other key priorities, and they potentially do not invest significantly when it comes to cybersecurity. Rather than investing in long-term plans, some organizations also implement rudimentary cybersecurity frameworks and solutions in order to comply with requirements, either at a national level or at an organizational level. We are seeing a lot of solutions coming from the global digital companies and being implemented across SMEs, big corporates that are looking to address some of these challenges. And there are a number of cybersecurity solutions that are also aligned to budgets of different organizations in order for companies to afford those solutions and implement them to protect their infrastructure. Many companies have gone digital across all levels of businesses, small to medium enterprises, up to the big corporate. So an investment in cybersecurity is no longer a choice, is no longer an option. It is actually a must have going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So Sabelo, I mean, OJ was mentioning budgeting there, you know, kind of strategies, investments. So how do you think, you know, a robust cloud cybersecurity strategy, you know, must align with a company's long-term objectives?
First, there needs to be an understanding of the importance of cybersecurity strategies and why then strategy is needed in the first place, which is obtainable by assessing your organization, current cybersecurity posture, looking at your industry, looking at the sector, as well as understanding the different cyber threats and vulnerabilities. So organization really needs to look into that. Because cybersecurity is a dynamic environment, and it needs to be reviewed regularly, so that you can be on the know. So we are looking into that, and we've been seen number of organizations restructuring, seeing CISOs maybe moving up to board level, or CIOs moving up to board level, and even the risk committees within the boards being aware of cybersecurity. So we've been seeing a positive in terms of that move, but most of the companies really need to look at cybersecurity as a long term, as a core of their strategy, because I think traditionally we've been having risk committees and, but we are seeing a lot of companies prioritizing cybersecurity and making cybersecurity to be the core of their business strategy.
Yeah, OJ, I saw you nodding along quite a lot while Sabelo was talking there. You spoke a bit about budgeting before, but what do you think C-suites need to consider, you know, as part of their budgeting process when it comes, you know, to cyber and maybe the AI aspect as well?
First of all, like Sabelo highlighted, the elevation of a CISO to probably the board or direct reporting into the board is a great achievement within the cybersecurity space, because it then brings the focus, it then brings the prioritization, and it then brings a more robust conversation around the budgeting process and the resources required. Around 80% of CIOs globally will increase their cybersecurity spending in this financial year, according to IDC. The cybersecurity spending obviously varies across different industries and organizations. So there is no one size fits all in terms of a budgeting process and a strategy and template and framework around the whole idea of deploying resources towards cybersecurity. Some of the key areas that a CISO would then have to focus on as they go through the budgeting process, number one is compliance. In many industries today, a good example is the healthcare industry. There is a need to comply to certain standards and acts and regulations that require a budget allocation for tools that address issues of data privacy, encryption, and also even lifecycle management to avoid penalties that are attributed to that act. So as a CISO, you need to comply to certain regulations. So that investment has to be put aside for that for the CISO to invest in. Obviously, the second point is ongoing risk assessment. Every organization in this day and age has to be proactive around continuous monitoring and controls. In our organization, we have a lot of services we offer around the area of penetration testing, incidence reports, bug bounty initiatives, and also the cyber insurance element has to be budgeted for. So all of these ongoing risk assessments have to be put in place, and a budget is to be allocated towards that. And this is an area where we are really supporting our clients on a day-to-day basis and making sure that their systems are risk-averse. Continuous security training is something that will never stop in organizations. Staff members need to be trained across the whole organizational structure, from the person at the reception right up to the C-level and the board member. So a lot of investment has to be put behind continuous training and bringing in external expertise that can provide some consulting services and professional services to existing staff members so that they can be able to protect the infrastructure, the data within the organization. The fourth point I'll highlight is new business initiatives. Every organization always goes through a cycle of launching new products. They go through a cycle of actually maybe sunsetting some products. And as they move to the cloud and as they invest more in AI, there's a need for those investments in new businesses to be actually security oriented in their deployment. So there's need for security assessments that are required before you launch a product, that are required as you deploy a product. And an investment and budget for that is very key. Last but not least, the business priority shifts is an element that we are seeing in many of our hearing in many of our conversations with some of our CISO colleagues in the industry. Changes in work models, technology adoption, or monetization strategies demand a reallocation of resources today. The adaptation of the operations and the product to security practices for remote work, transitioning to the cloud services and outsourcing engineering requires a different way of managing security. Gone are the days where we all came to the office every day. Today, people are working in different geographies within the same country, different countries. They're working with different work tools and they're connecting to that via the cloud. So in this multifaceted environment, there's a need for people to prioritize the security infrastructure to protect the data in any other process and operations that they're running. So that whole budgeting process touches on these points and many other areas as the CISOs, including the board, go through the budgeting process in these organizations.
Yeah, some very interesting points there, OJ. So Sabelo, keeping in mind what OJ just said, are there any specific technologies or trends that you've seen that are kind of being favored by the industry at the moment, maybe when it comes to things like budgeting and all of that, and maybe just some other trends?
Yes, mostly AI on experimentation. There's been a number of AI big data tools on experimentation that has been adopted depending on the industry, and also IoT. IoT has been mostly used to explore some of the remote hands, automation, etc. So we've been seeing this new type of experimentation or experimental technologies being adopted or towards the fourth industrial revolution. But this advantage maybe requires an organization to be cyber aware or to be aware of cyber threats, because it's no longer about in-house or dedicated function. It's more about most of these things being explored over the cloud. So that has been one of the challenges. Internet of Things, you've got distributed IoT devices all over. So you need to be aware, especially on your cyber threats. How do you ensure that all these devices are yours and you do not have rogue functions getting to your network and posing threats? So that's what we've been seeing recently. AI, big data, IoT, automation, most of the organizations are experimenting on this just to find or explore an edge in relation to their competitors.
Yeah, very interesting. So OJ, as a cybersecurity service provider, you know, which companies in your opinion are the most vulnerable to kind of malicious attacks at the moment?
I would say any company can have vulnerabilities, and the nature of this threat is always changing. Cyber criminals also frequently target technological, healthcare, and retail businesses, including financial services organizations primarily. So due to the high volume of financial transactions and storage of sensitive customer data, financial institutions, in our own observations, are the most frequently targeted entities. Organizations that are also vital to the national infrastructure, such as energy and utilities, are also susceptible to hackers who may be driven by a desire to sow discord and other political or social motives that they might have. So generally, an organization that is highly digitized and has not invested extensively in cybersecurity is more prone to malicious attacks.
Okay, interesting. And then, Sabelo, kind of from the industry perspective, what do you think are some of the maybe the blind spots that African businesses have when it comes to cloud and cyber?
The blind spots has been mostly, I will say, end users or people. There's been companies, they do quite a lot of awareness and, but it's more on the compliance on the end users. We've been seeing a lot of cybersecurity threats coming from phishing. Phishing continues to be a big concern for businesses and is often a doorway for ransomware attacks. And there's been significant increase in business email compromise attacks driven by generative AI advances. So this has been the key challenges in terms of how do we train end users to differentiate by just physical eye from the phishing email and all those things. There have been a number of initiatives to try and train people to say, whatever, are you doing online shopping and how do you differentiate with an authentic site and not so authentic site? A lot can be done in the background, technology investments and. But this has been more or less a key blind spot in most of the African businesses, enabling the end users to be cyber aware, to physically differentiate or physically identify a cyber threat. So that's what we've been seeing mostly.
Yeah, so OJ, are the blind spots similar to what you've noticed, you know, having worked with your customers, and are businesses using AI to help counter the cyber attacks, or do you think it's too new still maybe for African businesses?
Cyber threats to the African market are varied and multifaceted. There's different attacks that we're observing across different markets for different intentions from different cyber attack groups. So among these are phishing attacks, as Abelo mentioned, data breaches. We're seeing quite a number of them in many countries now. And they're also becoming more sophisticated as they invest also, like Abelo said, in Gen AI capabilities to power some of the attacks. A rise in social engineering techniques has also been observed in many countries, where perpetrators assume the identity of well-known people in order to plan fund transfer frauds and a number of other impersonations that we're seeing. Another major issue is around the supply chain attacks that we're seeing. And this is actually affecting deliveries and also affecting efficient movement of goods when we see ports being attacked. And we also see some infrastructure around the supply chain also being attacked. Authentication procedures and vulnerabilities on mobile devices is a growing trend. And this comes back to individuals mainly, having an understanding of what cybersecurity means as an individual. Potentially two-factor authentication, password management. There's a lot of areas where vulnerabilities are being identified. And along with inadequate authentication measures being the key observation that we've picked up on mobile as a route to many of these attackers entering into people's emails, people's data and information. With the use of cutting-edge technology, knowledgeable analysis and preempted defenses, our cybersecurity plan, SC2, is intended to counter these complex threats. We have partnered extensively with some of the best-in-class global technology solution providers within the cybersecurity space. And some of the products that we're already launching and deploying across the continent are actually AI-driven from a perspective of the professional services we offer as we plug in the tools that provide incident monitoring. Some of them are actually being deployed across networks where they can actually be able to quarantine certain attacks, respond simultaneously and automatically to attacks. And we also have implemented some solutions within our control centers that are helping us also effectively capture some of these attacks. So AI implementation is not for tomorrow. It's already now. It's already happening. And we continue to invest in these defensive mechanisms aimed at containing some of these attacks to protect our customers' data and provide confidence for our customers as they deliver services across the continent. So when you talk about AI, it's already here. It is being implemented across the cybersecurity industry by a number of other players within our own industry too.
Yeah, very interesting. Sabelo, do you agree?
Yes, definitely. I think as OJ has highlighted, it's been it's been like that, and a number of top executives are now prioritizing cybersecurity. I think even the latest reports from Liquid Cybersecurity, the 22 report, is highlighting that because organizations as well as key decision makers are beginning to understand the impact of cybersecurity attacks on their operations and what they can have in future. So both financially and from reputational point of view, cybersecurity attacks can be very catastrophic. So this has been we've been seeing a lot of attention on by the top executives in different IT different sectors in prioritizing the cyber attacks.
Yeah. So, OJ, how do C-suite executives then leverage cybersecurity investment to unlock particularly growth in their businesses?
So my response to this, Paula, is more centered around the fact that lack of investment in cybersecurity actually leads to huge financial losses and reputational risks that actually hamper the growth of any organization. So investment in cybersecurity is very integral to the sustainable growth of any organization. It obviously drives the reputational advantages that a company would have and increases confidence of a company. We at C2 continue to work with C-level executives across Africa and provide cybersecurity solutions for cyber defense, secure access, and secure data, leveraging our global exhaustive partner network. We have built a team of highly sought after, capable, qualified experts who are delivering services to our customers aligned to their strategic objectives. And this is how we are also contributing to the growth of their businesses on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, very nice. Great to hear those insights. So Sabelo, how important do you think education about cybersecurity and the best practices, you know, and potential threats is? And who's responsible, in your opinion, for this? who's responsible for this education? You know, is it the government? Is it the private sector? Is it a combo?
I would say everyone is responsible, even the end users themselves. it's very important. Every individual, for me, I will emphasize this, they self-teach themselves the cybersecurity to be cyber aware, because some of these attacks that go unnoticed are attacking individuals. Either a phishing attack, you get your money docked on your credit card and or you buy things incorrectly online, there are lots of people losing financially, except on businesses. Some, they put it on their banks, but it might not be about your bank. It might not be about your organization or your workplace or your company to do that. But it's more about you to self-teach yourself. What is cyber? What is the cyber attacks? And where do I put my information? Where do I punch my credit card information? I think OJ highlighted two-factor authentication. Why do I not maybe get asked the second authentication level? And why am I not getting an SMS? So end users should be aware that if I'm entering whatever business or I'm buying something online, either an SMS or whatever, that is a second factor of authentication, authenticating me, and to know exactly you are interacting with your bank or you are interacting with an authentic service provider, and. So it's very important for end users to be cyber aware. And further, the government can extend its hand on ensuring that people are cyber aware, because this costs countries' economy quite a lot, these cyber attacks. And mostly the organizations, there is more for organizations to lose their reputation and in investing in this. So
yeah.
The education, I think it relies on, I won't say both the companies and government, companies, government, and the individuals themselves. They need to be really aware, because it can even attract financial loss at their own individual basis compared to maybe the companies or the government.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first, everyone. Everyone is responsible for their own security, right? Okay, well, I know we're running out of time, but maybe just some final thoughts from both of you. So, OJ, any final thoughts on the topic, things we haven't had the chance to discuss?
Thank you very much, first of all, Paula, for this interview. And thank you for reconnecting me with my colleague, Sabelo. What I would add is actually that cybersecurity is a very, very important investment for corporates. We at C2 are well geared to support a number of customers from corporates, SMEs, and we pride ourselves from finding solutions together with our partners and addressing their pressing needs around this whole digital transformation journey they are going through. We are available and are ready to service the African continent together with our partners. And I do believe that as citizens of this continent, we also need to be aware that cyber attacks are real, that impersonation is real, that there's a lot that is going on, and we need to be able to protect ourselves by increasing our education around cyber attacks and cybersecurity. And I would like to call upon also governments, regulators, to also continue to educate the masses around cybersecurity and cyber attacks. And thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Sabelo. Any closing remarks from you?
Just to emphasize, I think within the cyber, it's always better to open your cards, to partner, to form, to join organizations and entities, and also partner or outsource with organizations like Liquid C2, just to also to help emphasize and strengthen your cyber defense force, if I may say so, because cybersecurity skills are very expensive to keep in-house. So one of the things is to have a good partner and also communicate within the sector to say, how do we put efforts together to make sure that we defend ourselves from cyber criminals? So it's very important. While some companies can be able to afford to have in-house skills within the cybersecurity, it's also very relevant to have a good partner or partners within cybersecurity to ensure that you are aware of what's happening within the market and what are the latest trends, and to be able to ensure that you are up to date or up to scratch with what's happening. So, yeah, in summary, I'll just say, yeah, people should have partners, go out there, communicate, and if you need to outsource, please do so, because this can be very expensive to maintain in-house the cybersecurity skills.
Okay, well, thanks so much. I think we're going to have to leave it there, but a big thank you to Oswald Jamira, who's the CEO of Liquid C2, and Sabelo Dlamini, director at Sanren, for sharing your insights on the podcast. It's been great to have you both with us.
Thank you, Paula. Great meeting you again, Sabelo.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Cassava Tech Talks. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is the final podcast of the series, but subscribe to our channel to catch up on all the episodes you might have missed.